This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 91. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what we say it is every week, folks. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books, from epic fantasy to urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, anything you can think of that has a fantasy twist in it. We bring you the best and brightest authors from all those corners of the fantasy book world. Now, start off things this week, as I always do, I will kick off with my own author update. Huntress Cadet, book 3 in the Huntress Clan Saga, released last week. I'm really excited. The reader response to this third book in the series is already just, you know, really making me happy. I'm always happy when readers enjoy my books, and this is no different. I urge you to check it out and pick up the whole trilogy of urban fantasy books with a VR gaming twist. Book 1 is Huntress Initiate, book 2 is Huntress Apprentice, and of course Huntress Cadet just released. All three available from Amazon, and there will be more books. I'm already starting on the next three books in that series. You can check out more information on what I'm up to, including sneak peeks of upcoming covers, special giveaways I run, and a lot more. Visit my fan reader group over on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. We don't just talk about my books there, folks. We talk about all kinds of fantasy stuff. Books that I like to read, books from friends of mine, books you like to read. We just kind of enjoy talking about fantasy over there, and you can check it out over there on that group. Also, you can catch my website and blog over at jamiedavisbooks.com. Whatever you do, though, reach out to me. I love to hear from you. On today's show, I interview Natalia Capello. Natalia lives in a world of oddballs, weather wizards, and big dreams. Really, though, it's just Texas. She loves chocolate and spaghetti, but not together, and writes about fantastical worlds with strong heroines and lots of magic. When she's not writing, she enjoys spending time with her cat and playing video games and tabletop role-playing games. Check out my interview with Natalia coming right up. Hi, Natalia. Welcome to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So why don't you introduce yourself to the readers out there? Tell them a little bit about yourself.
I am Natalia Capello. I am a YA epic fantasy author who is also a tabletop role player, and I like video games, and I like a lot of things, almost all things fantasy.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got started writing. Has this been something that you've always wanted to do, or are you like me, someone dared you to write fiction and you fell in love with it?
I've actually wanted to write since I was in middle school. I think I wrote my first story in the eighth grade. So it's been a long time dream of mine to be a writer.
So tell us a little bit about what that means, because like I know for a lot of people who've wanted to be writers for a long time, they've had like inklings of their first set of stories kind of floating around their mind for a long time. It's been characters that they've kind of developed over years. Has that been the case with you?
Sort of. As a kid, I had a very active imagination. Like I had a lot of imaginary friends I would make up, or I'd make up little stories or scenarios with my toys and things. And as I grew older, I began to get into a lot of tabletop role playing, and a lot of my story ideas or my characters come from those games that I have played over the years, such as Ballad of Enrolled Iron is actually based on a role playing game my husband ran a few years ago.
Cool. So like an epic fantasy role-playing game, and because I know this one has like fey in it, so elves or elf kind of creatures.
Yes, it's mostly fairy. Actually, it's all fairy. There's no humans or anything. They're all fairy races that are in the books.
Very cool. So do you find yourself thinking of this storyline, you know, in in bits and pieces of scenes that you kind of came up with and then you fit them together? Or were you thinking of a setting and some key characters first?
It started out with me wanting to write a story about my character, Lorelai, who is the main character of the story, really, and kind of go along with the game he ran, some of the story elements of that, but I've added more. And a lot of it sometimes comes into cool scenes that pop into my head, but usually there is this overarching story that I have an idea for that I'm just trying to get through.
And I noticed a musical theme because of like all the stories have, of course, Ballad of Emerald and Iron is the series name. But then we have Song of Shadow and Hymn of Ascension and Canticle of Magic. So I'm getting a sense that the magic system or the system somehow is involving a musical theme. Am I correct?
Yes. The main character, Lorelai, her magic, she channels it through music. So it is definitely a musical theme involved.
Now that's kind of a unique system of magic. What, tell us a little bit about what that means and how you came up with it and how that kind of system of magic would work.
Well, there are several different types of ways to channel the magic in the story, but hers is mostly music. And the way I came from it is I like the idea of bards, but I also like the idea of bards having more than just musical inspiration types of magic. So she's really able to use the magic as a focus to channel how she wants to manipulate the world around her. She starts out doing it elemental wise, like she can manipulate fire and air and water and earth. Mostly she prefers fire, but sometimes air.
That's excellent. And then she's, now I know that there's a point where in the beginning of the story, she's people think she's crazy that, and she sees some things going on and no one believes her. Is that something that you've not that you're crazy, not saying that, but we all draw from our real lives in some way. I mean, how did you come up with the idea of having her be this conflicted person that is no one believes her and no one understands what she's going through?
Well, I kind of based that off of a lot of conspiracy theories and theorists, except it's actually happening to her. But it's her family background is her relationship with her family isn't really a good relationship. I didn't really base it off of my parents, but I have had issues with other family members in the past, and I guess I've based it off of that, really, a whole sense of disapproval of what she is and what she represents. And at least the crazy part, it just took the most logical thing in my mind after writing the prequel, that people would assume that she's not right in the head because of A, she has nightmares, and B, she's saying that there's this conspiracy going on in their government.
Wow. And I like the idea, conspiracy theories are hot topics right now. And what people have a hard time believing anything anymore, it seems like. It's easy to see how she could be wrapped up into something like that. And I know that as authors, we always bring parts of our private lives into our stories. I will find when I'm writing a book, when I get done and I look back at it and look and kind of stumble upon, wow, there's this underlying theme going on in this particular book. And I look back at my life and sure enough, there's things that are reflecting into the story from things that I was going through with family or friends or life in general. I wrote a whole series, a trilogy based upon family members dealing with having to run up against prejudice for various things that happened in their lives. And it just kind of filtered into a story because of it. So I completely understand, it's we don't write necessarily about specific people in our lives, but the themes in our lives tend to show up.
Oh, definitely. And I've noticed a big theme between this and other stories I have written in the past. I have this great want to travel. And so my characters end up traveling. They never usually stay in the same spot, like the same city or town. They end up traveling around. And I think that is me projecting my want to travel into my stories.
Now, that kind of presents its own kind of set of challenges for you as an author, because you have additional world building to do. The more places in your world that a character travels to, the more fleshed out both those places and the world itself around them has to become. Is that something you enjoy doing? To kind of build the world in enough detail that it becomes believable in all those settings?
Oh yes, I love it. I love world building and I love plotting, actually. And writing the first draft is a little more difficult the most difficult thing I do. But once I have it down, I don't mind editing. But I definitely love world building.
What aspect of that do you find the most enjoyable?
I think it's coming up with different histories and lores, because I'm a huge mythology buff. I love mythology, like all the mythologies. They all interest me, so I always read into it. So I love researching it and then coming up with stories to fit my series.
Excellent. So you've got your people traveling a lot, and that ends up, I'm assuming Lorelai does that in her story, trying to track down what's going on in the world in which she lives and prove that she's not crazy and that these conspiracy theories aren't conspiracy theories, they're real things. That challenge that she faces, talk a little bit about, how she will develop and move forward. Cause I know you've got book 3 coming out at the end of February, which is exciting.
Yes. I'm very excited about that. So really these first, the first books, I'm actually planning for a very long series, at least 12 books, but these first 4 or 5 books is more of a coming of age and Lorelai coming into her own. The first book really focuses on what was it? Oh, it focuses on seeing that like outer beauty really doesn't represent what's inside. So she notices the outer beauty of her world is hiding these dark and terrible things that are happening. And the second book really focuses on, since she's a noble, it focuses on like true nobility looks after the people that it's responsible for instead of just preying upon them. So each story she goes through, she learns and she grows to become someone who is going to be a hero for this world.
Excellent. And then book 3 will expand upon that even more. That's exciting. And yes. I like the idea of leadership, building this leadership character in her. Because I know that it's important for you to have a kick-ass female character that's gonna bring it in for the the bad guys at the end of the day.
Right.
Excellent. So this, you said 12 books. That's an exciting and expansive project. There, does it scare you at all? What are some of the challenges you look at that you think you're going to be facing to make sure that this series continues on in that scope?
It does scare me at times where I've decided to take on something so large. A lot of it was just catching interest for readers so that I know that people actually want this book, the series, to continue, and keeping my own interest in writing each of the books as well.
So I'm wondering, besides Ballad of Emerald and Iron, are there any other stories that are kind of knocking around in the back of your mind that you look at? I know some authors like to have what they call palate cleansers every now and then, especially in long series projects where, even if it's a short story or something, to kind of give themselves a little bit of a break in between. Is that something you're thinking about, or is there another story that you're hoping to get into as well? Or are you all in for this particular series first?
This series is definitely my main focus. I do have other story ideas too. This particular series is, even though I have 12 books, I actually have the dream or goal of creating this whole world with different series in it, like 12 books in this particular time, and then maybe another series taking place in the future, and then several series taking place in the past. A lot of that, I have ideas all the time. Like yesterday, I came up with an idea about a Romeo and Juliet retelling where the couple was interracial, and they were dealing with like issues with that, and that is what's driving them apart instead of just the two families hating each other. And so I kind of just put that away to the side as an idea for later. I also have an idea for possibly a lit RPG series that focuses on an NPC gaining sentience and trying to free all the other NPCs. So I have lots of ideas.
That's great.
I just need the time to write them.
Yeah. Hey, isn't that the trick, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating that you have something that's so that you can take this world. Like you said, you enjoy world building. So being able to build a series or multiple series out of the same world across an expanse of time is just amazing. And I know some really amazing authors that have done the same thing. So I applaud you for doing that, because it can actually, I think, be incredibly rewarding. I think of people like Robin Hobb and Terry Brooks and others that have, you know, the Shannara series that's so expansive when you look at how all of it connects together, all the books he's written connect together so well. Around those earlier books, but they are set in, you know, epics apart from each other. So it's just, I think that's really cool. I really like the idea that you can do that.
Thanks. I'm really hoping it turns out well.
Yeah, definitely. So when you like talk to your readers or you hear from readers, what are some of the things you hear most often from them?
They like the books, or they love the books. They ask about certain things in the characters' stories, like Lorelai's past and things that I haven't yet revealed yet. So I'm not going to reveal here, spoilers. But they ask about things like that. They tell me they like Lorelai, or they tell me they like one of the side characters. Usually they really like the characters.
And that's got to be really gratifying for you. I know that I enjoy, you know, when people ask me, it actually sometimes surprises me that, a particular side character connects with the readers as much as they do, because they connect with the main characters. But every now and then I find like a side character really seems to like strike a chord, and they want to see more of that person in future books, or, you know, they want to know what's going on in their lives. Because I've actually ended up writing a couple of spinoff things, you know, short novels or novellas based upon some of those characters because of those reactions.
Yeah, I find that really, really cool. It really is a great feeling when they tell you that.
So when you hear from readers, what's your preferred method? What's the way that you like to have them contact you?
Well, I am available on Facebook. I have a page as well as a Facebook group that I interact with called Natalia Capello's Acapellas.
I love that name, by the way. That's just, that's great.
Yeah, a friend of mine came up with that, and I was like, that's perfect for the name. Usually that is, I also have a contact form on my website, www.nataliacapella.com. NataliaCapella.com.
Excellent. And I'll have links to all of these places in the show notes. People can join your Facebook group if they want. Of course, they'll go to the website and they have your contact information there. I also see that you have ways that they can connect with you on your Amazon page, on BookBub, Instagram, and Facebook. So that's fantastic. Now, I know you said you were a gamer, and that some aspects of this story spring out of an RPG, that you've played with your husband. You know, it's funny to see how many people were either game masters or stories ideas came from role-playing games that they played, because I think it's that interaction between a game master and a group of live characters that actually makes the stories come to life in such a dynamic way. Do you find that to be the case too?
Yes, I do. It really does. It really brings the characters to life in most cases that I've seen. When you're playing with other people, and they bring just new ideas and fresh perspectives to the table.
So what video games have been catching your eye of late? Because I know it says you're a video game player. I am too. I actually am playing Jedi Fallen Order right now. That's kind of got me caught up in there. But I'm curious what other authors are playing.
I just got finished playing Until Dawn, which is this horror decision-making game.
That's like a zombie game, right?
It wasn't zombie. It was like kind of like a horror movie.
Okay.
Where you like make decisions for the characters and you have to push the buttons at the right time or things. And it was really cool, honestly. I'm not going to reveal out here in case anybody wants to play it what the monster was, but there was a monster that was stalking people.
Wow. Cause like, you know, it's funny. I found that video games can take the place of reading a story because so many games are now story rich. And so they really are almost like, I don't know, immersing yourself in an audiobook in a different way, or, you know, that immersive experience into a story takes the place for me in some respects of some of the reading that I used to do, and gives me the opportunity to play some games at the same time, give myself a break, but it still works my story mind. Can you talk a little bit about how, you know, games seem to help you, or do they help you?
Oh, sure. I definitely agree that they can take the place of stories, especially if the story in the game is really good. And usually those are the games I go for instead of just the grinding action sorts of games. I go for games that are more story intensive in them. And so really it helps me. That in movies help like refill my creative well, so that they give me like ideas in the background for stories I want to create, but also they help me see like character development and plot development and things. And I can pick up like certain tropes that are in books and in video games as well. And I'm like, okay, well, there's that. And sometimes I'll figure out the mystery beforehand because I know those, but they're also really entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree, you know, it's the opportunity to kind of get that creative energy back from immersing yourself in someone else's story. And I think the kinesthetic sense of operating a controller to you know, operate your player in the game, the character you're playing in the game, and go through the motions of the story seems to be just so much more immersive, like I said, than reading a book. Although I love reading books, I love audiobooks, I enjoy all those aspects of getting that creative well, and movies as well. So I think that there's multiple ways now. I think we're kind of in a lucky time with so many different ways, whether it's tabletop gaming or video gaming or movies or books or audiobooks. It's, all of these things seem to be coming together to create kind of a creative renaissance right now.
I definitely agree. This is a great time to live, to be able to just absorb the creativity of different medias.
Excellent. Well, Natalia, it's great having you on the show today. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy writing schedule. Looking forward, I'm sure, as people are, to your next book coming out. And I believe that is the Canticle of Magic, which is due out at the end of February. So people should look for it. I think it comes out the day before my next book comes out. So you got two great books coming up here at the end of the month for folks to check out. So definitely do that. And Natalia, I look forward to, you know, checking in with you later on, and please keep in touch with the show.
Thank you for having me, and thank you everybody for listening and taking the time to get to know me. I hope you enjoy my stories.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy and sci-fi focus community on Facebook or over at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode and let me know what's on your mind. Also, while you're over on our website at fantasy-focus.com, on each podcast episode post at the top right there below the audio player, you'll find links to subscribe to the show using your favorite mobile app, iOS or Android. You can even subscribe by email if you want. But do that because you don't want to miss any of the amazing authors we have scheduled coming up in the next few months. Our next episode features an interview with the amazing Ken Boyter, and you won't want to miss that. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, though. We can't just keep going. We have to stop them somewhere. So as always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book if you sign up for my newsletter while you're over there. Whatever you do, though, subscribe and come back here for the next podcast episode. And in the meantime, I'll remind you, as I always do, make sure you keep your eyes open while you're out there, folks, because whether you know it or not, there's magic all around you.